Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Jesus is pretty good, you know. It's kind of interesting because he's different than all the other gods. And technically there is no other God. But one thing of you that might be listening that has this idea that you don't maybe understand who Jesus is, or that you think that the God that you have is the real God or something, there's something that's a little bit unique about Jesus Christ. And that is, when you come to believe him, believe who he is, something happens that doesn't happen in your religion. Doesn't matter what religion you have, you don't have a personal relationship with your God. You got a book or a set of rules, and you try to do the best according to what your teachers tell you, or the which that you have decided in your own religion how you're going to do it. Some of you just do exactly what your teachers say. But you don't have a personal relationship. Do you know what a personal relationship is? I mean, we got personal relationships all the time. When we grow up, we got our parents and our brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and you know, if you go to the store or go to the movies or something, you might see somebody there and say hi or something. You had a little bit of personal relationship there. You see them and you talk to them and they respond back to you. It's a personal relationship. Some personal relationships are pretty good. Some are pretty bad, as far as humans go. But a personal relationship is somebody that you personally know. Nobody else in the world can tell you that person doesn't exist. If somebody were to come up to you and tell you your mother doesn't exist, you know she did exist. If somebody came up to tell you your brother doesn't exist because there's no such thing, well, you grew up with your brother, and there he is, you know, down the street from you. You visit with him often. You can call him on the phone. You know your brother exists because you have a personal relationship with him. Other religions, you can't dial up your God and say, God. And your God will say, what? And then you know, let's do something together. You know, I'm glad you're with me. You know, it's kind of nice. We're going off here together. Doesn't matter where I am. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. There you are. You're always with me. There's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ when you come to believe who he is and accept what he did. No other God in the world or in history has this sort of thing that you come to your other God other than the God of the Bible. Some people, you know, we have this thing we call demon possession or oppression and all. We have all kinds of terms to deal with the evil spirits out there. And they can possess you. So you can have a personal relationship with a demon. Because a demon comes inside you and lives in you. So then you're able to have a personal relationship with something. In some cases, some demons may pretend to be another god, so you may actually think that you got your god. Now, there is lots of interesting things about demons. So if you're getting, as it were, demon-possessed, and so you really believe you have a relationship with your god or something because the demon's telling you he's your god, there's some things that happen in your life that isn't according to the religion that you're believing because you got a demon. A demon isn't interested in anything except, as it were, from those lies and evils and to keep you from God. The thing is, when we talk to all these other religions, because when we're talking about demons, demons don't have much reason to go in anybody except to keep you from knowing Jesus. And there's a good way to keep you from knowing Jesus, and that is to come into you and try to steer you all over the place. But the thing is, we have records. We have history. There isn't too much of readily available information that tells us that there are religions that have a common thing in it, that they have some sort of personal relationship with their God. Because the foundations of all other religions in their writings, in their ancient texts, and in their teaching doesn't include personal relationship with your God. And so you could test the spirits in your own religion. You don't have a personal relationship with God. We have a religion that is in the news all the time today, Islam. People, Muslims, you don't have a personal relationship with Allah. You just don't. I've talked to lots and lots of you, and I asked the question, do you have a personal... No, no, no. You're abiding by rules and regulations of Islam so that one day you can go to heaven. And certain things you could do can give you certain kinds of benefits when you get there. But in that process of going to heaven, you have a rigid set of rules to follow. Now, Christianity is kind of interesting. I mean, we hear all the time about bad Christians, don't we? Misbehaving Christians. Christians that don't seem all kind of right and everything. Hypocrites and all sorts of things. But no matter what you do, they're going to heaven. So they tell you and all that kind of stuff. And although there's lots of people wanting to point fingers at them, you Christians have a little bit of different situation here. It's not that they can go out and freely be evil. People are evil. Some people are more evil than others. Sometimes it seems like it's just their nature to be kind of mean-spirited or something. But go figure. If you're a Christian, all your sins are forgiven you. You're supposed to die for your sin. You deserve to die. The law of the universe as it was, the law of God as it were, is you're to die for your own sins. You're to pay the price because you sin and you gotta die. Other religions may have other circumstances that tells you what you can do and can't do and so forth. But basically, you know, when you're looking at Christianity and you say, well, how can they? There's so many bad ones. Yeah, there's lots of good ones too, but you don't seem to see them when you want to condemn Christianity. You just want to see the bad folk. And so, go figure. Their sins are forgiven. If they truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only Son of God, and that He rose on the third day, if they believe this, and they actually prayed a prayer we call the sinner's prayer, God, I believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son, that He died on the cross paying the price for my sin, and is born a virgin, and He came to pay the price for our sin because He's without sin. When you believe that and you ask Jesus to forgive your sins and come into your life, your sins are forgiven you. Now you continue sinning because we're sinners. There's no magic in Christendom. When you accept Jesus, there might be something that might be construed as magic because you can have some pretty dramatic spiritual experience when Jesus comes into you. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I mean, you're floating around on the clouds sometimes. You're flooding out tears and much more. God's all around you. There's no question about it. But this doesn't clean you. It doesn't get rid of your sins. It forgives your sin. Jesus forgives your sin. He climbed on the cross to die for you. So, you got to get one thing understandable about Christians. They're just simply not wonderful angels without sin. Or they stop sinning as soon as they accepted Jesus. What happens is, they're going this direction, they accept Jesus, then they go this direction. Now they may be a long ways down the road, or they may be really slow. They might be closer to being pretty good, but they're just such a slow walker, or they're walking this way and they're walking this way. But they're heading the right direction. It may take them their whole life and they still don't quite get there by a long shot. That's the interesting thing about Christians. Go figure. All you people trying to live really good and everything, Christians are just forgiven. They could do some pretty raunchy sins, and they're forgiven. It's sort of kind of depending on their hearts, depending on what they make of Jesus. You know, you can turn your backs on Jesus, and that don't go too well for you. But generally speaking, Christians don't go around turning their back on Jesus. They continue to try to do the best they can. Sometimes the best they can and too nice in the sight of others. But Christians aren't about deciding, I'm going to turn my back. I'm going to sin like crazy all the more because I'm off again. Doesn't work like that. But they are forgiven. So, hey, you other religions, and you want to try to point fingers and say Christianity is full of hypocrites and all blah, 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 and nah. It's too bad. It's too bad. They're forgiven. Generally speaking, fortunately, plenty of good folk out there that are actually doing enough good stuff that no matter how much bad you find, you're going to find an awful lot of good. You're going to find a foundation of pretty good stuff in Christianity. You're going to find some of the most evil, terrible stuff also. Power-crazed people and so forth, wanting to control nations and so forth, and then, you know, in the name of God. All said and done, there's something that no other religion has. Because when you actually believe, see, it's totally by faith. You cannot have proof to get saved that Jesus is real. You can't. It's by faith. You have to believe it. Just like it takes an unbelievable amount of faith. It seemed like that was pretty easy for a lot of you to believe in Darwin stuff, you know, evolution and all that. So you see, the trick of evolution is anybody believing in evolution has an ace up their sleeve. They pull out that ace and say, well, we don't know how this happened, so we'll say it took 100 million years. And we don't know how this kind of stuff got started, so it took 1 billion years. See, look how freely evolutionists got to believe this stuff. Then they go out there into the woods, and they pick up this little thing like this, and they look at it, and they spend an hour documentary on and saying how these people lived in this cave. Well, they got some pretty good information. They sometimes got more than this little chunk of something. And sometimes you can pretty much figure out how somebody kind of lived. But so much of evolution is depending on a grain. And they're trying to put the picture of everything in the world onto a grain. And if there's any trouble with it, it just takes some more millions of years. Hey, I'm a chief atheist. I know this thing about adding as many millions of years, billions or even trillions of years, because you had to start something somewhere. And billions of years isn't enough, so you need trillions of years to get some nothings together so you can have something, so eventually, in trillions of years, you could start working on billions of years making a planet. Lot of faith to believe in evolution. Lots of faith. Once you got a lot of ingredients together, as it were, you can have something called microevolution, which means once you got the product, now you can kind of blend them together and maybe come up with something new. You know, we call crossbreeding. We do this with plants and everything else because we personally could take stuff and do it. Sometimes by natural selection, you go out and do something. As humans, we like to cross across the races and everything. And so we got half this kind of race, half this kind of race. Works just fine. God didn't create that middle kind of race. He created, this race and this race. But this, it was more complex because there was only one in the beginning. So we have, as Christians, there's a lot of stuff to deal with. But the simple part about being a Christian, that it's the baffling to anybody else, because Christians would be as dumb as ever about anything and have an awful hard time trying to explain their faith. But there's something that's a no-brainer. There's something that you cannot change about a Christian. And that is, they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Son of God. That means, Jesus, when they say, Jesus, I believe you're the only Son of God, that you became man, that you were born of a virgin, doesn't make Mary some super sacred woman. She was about 13 when she got pregnant. She had no time to be this kind of pure, decent folk. She might have been, but she was also put into a daycare, specially designed in the synagogues to watch over young girls so they could be pure for the planned marriage that the families have done. And Mary was such a person. She was planned to be married to Joseph. And so she had to be kept pure. And one of the ways that you keep people pure is you put them in daycare, whether you have a bunch of priests, synagogue leaders and so forth, watching over, care workers. Keep the men from coming in and raping her, because that is a common thing. You don't want to get your daughter impure because she's less valuable. The commodity of managing your business of the joining two families together through marriage, because that's what marriage was in those days. But you believe that Mary was a virgin. And Holy Spirit came on her, and Jesus was born. So Jesus, half of him is from Mary, half of him is from God. He was born of a virgin, and he did not sin. We got stories of him being maybe mischievous, that may be true, or brattish, as some people like to kid around when you go into the ancient stories of his childhood, that of information and books that are not in the Bible, but were used as Bible for even centuries by Christians. But Jesus lived without sin. These things that I'm telling you right now is faith. You ain't going to get proof. And so, he died. The reason he died is because, you know, in the past, Israel always had to do sacrifices. Now, this was sort of stopped because the Romans came in and the countries overran and so on and so forth. So they didn't really have a good setup to do sacrifices on a regular basis like the Bible goes into great detail of. So they couldn't get this kind of yearly or sometimes daily sacrifices to get forgiven of sins. But Jesus came, and his blood was pure enough that it is once that could pay for every sin in the world, past, present, and future. You, however, could sin the slightest sin, and you're going to go to hell. Again, all this kind of stuff is by faith. If you're an atheist, you ain't going to believe in this. It doesn't matter. You're good enough. Who's going to be judging you? Whatever. Or you're just going to die, and that's it. That's because you don't believe. So you can't have a personal relationship. It is a faith thing. Unless you take this step of faith, you're not going to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're also not going to get saved, as it were, and live forever. Don't matter what religion you are. But when you take that step of faith. And there's no magic thing about you somehow coming to a decision. Maybe some things are happening in your life and finally you're deciding, well, you're going to ask Jesus to forgive you. It don't work like that. You don't actually have the choice, as it were, to come to Jesus. Though sometimes the message seems to be that it is your choice. And it is your choice. But you cannot see Christ unless the Holy Spirit reveals Him to you. So how are you going to take your step of faith? So some of you that are thinking about this Christianity thing, and you know how they say that you got to get accept Jesus and all that, you think it's a bunch of hogwash or something. You can't see, you can't feel, you don't, at that time or moment in your life, you're not being drawn by the Holy Spirit. Go figure. Why? Well, it's not my decision, at least, to figure out when to draw you to Christ or not. Sometime in your life, you're going to get that opportunity. Maybe it's now when I'm talking to you. And on occasion, this message comes to you in some way or another that Jesus is the Christ and you need to accept Him. See, the idea, the concept of the Christ is the Son of God coming to pay for your sins. He first loved you. You have to comprehend the understanding of Christ, because the Son of God is God Son. You have the Holy Spirit. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have to have some inkling of an idea. And somewhere or another, we all do. Because we have all these other religions. We think there is some sort of God. Even as atheists, sometimes we have these horrible moments of thinking that there may be some God. But somewhere or another, along the line, the thought pops into your head. Maybe. Most of the time, you could just shove it off. Get out of there, thought. I already have my set of beliefs. You have some moments, sometimes a lot. You have as much as your lifetime that God will, through the Holy Spirit, draw you to Christ. But you have to have this concept of Christ, this idea He is God. And then you have to know why He came. He came because you can't pay the price for your sins. You have to actually have this idea that you're a sinner. And the idea includes you can't save yourself. You can't forgive yourself. The idea includes you deserve to die. These kind of things are not something that you come up with. These are kind of things, this drawing by the Holy Spirit to Christ. You're drawn to Christ. If you're not drawn, I'm wasting my breath talking to you because you ain't going to do nothing about it. If you're drawn, you're going to hear some of the words I say or somebody else that might be saying something similar, and you'll listen. I'm about out of time. So, you can take this time right now by faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and say, God, I believe that Jesus is your only Son. And that He died on the third day. He died on the cross, paying the price for my sin. And that You rose Him on the third day. A simple prayer like that gets you saved if you believe what you pray. Then you can ask Jesus to baptize your Holy Spirit. You begin your personal life as soon as you say, Jesus, come into my life. Your personal relationship with Jesus. See you next week.